Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. We are so glad that you're here. If you are a visitor with us, we invite you to find out more about us by going to the web or also to finding out more on Facebook. We are blessed that we have today, we are having a fundraiser, and so we have cookies out in the narthex or in the hallway here, and those are to support the Ashley's mission trip to Africa and Dominican Republic, I think?
Costa Rica.
And so we are so glad to be able to help support her in her missions. And so we encourage you to enjoy the cookies as those are out there. We have other announcements in our bulletin that you can take a minute and to notice for us. There is admin board meeting at 7 on Thursday, which is important, and we'll have choir practice on Wednesday and Bible study Wednesday also. The new members class will be held on Tuesday nights, beginning the second week in May. So we invite you into that as well. And like I said, it's not just for new members into this congregation, but also into what it means to being a United Methodist. So I invite all of those. Is there any other announcements? Are there any other announcements from the floor? It's going to be one of those days.
I just want to reinforce Pastor Melissa's good announcement last week and remind you that next Sunday is Gideon Sunday. And so bring your checkbooks. Credit cards will work. And old-fashioned greenbacks will work. I encourage you to be as generous as you can. The need now is greater than it ever has been. Though, if you go to Charity Navigators on the web, and you type in Gideon's, and they rate thousands of charities, you'll find Gideon's is the very top rating they got. It's a five-star rating. So, now, on your checks, you really have a choice, but maybe you would rather make it out to Convoy UM Church, put Gideon's on the memory line. That way it'll flow through our mission. It's certainly missions. But if you want to just write Gideon's on, that works fine, too. Thank you.
Thank you. Also, you might notice that we have two of the same hymns. The middle hymn is actually 591, Rescue the Perishing, and I will remind you of that again when I invite you to stand and sing. Are there any others? Let's prepare our hearts for worship. Heavenly and gracious God, be with us this morning. Pour out your Holy Spirit that we may know you are here. Be with us, O gracious God, as we come to worship you. Help us to quiet our minds and quiet our hearts. Help us to put aside all the things that we want to do on this beautiful sunny day so that we can spend just a moment in your presence. Amen. Call to worship. We enter now into God's holy presence.
Come, let us worship. Let us bow down before the Lord our God.
It is fitting that we come with thanksgiving.
God deserves our songs of praise.
For the Lord is a great God.
He is creator of all, the highest mountain and the depths of the earth.
The vast waters and the dry land were all God's idea. We are called and chosen and fed and nurtured as the sheep of his flock.
Let us listen today for the voice of our shepherd.
Let us come with open ears and hearts.
Let us worship the Lord our God.
Amen. Our hymn is 591. Oh, I'm sorry, 568, Christ for the World We Sing. Have been sin sick and have been redeemed, turn to your neighbor and pass the peace of Christ. As we find our ways back to our seats, we invite the children to come forward as we sing Jesus Loves Me.
Jesus loves me.
Good morning, you guys. Have you had a good morning so far? Yeah. Oh, I got to tell you, I'm really tired today. I don't know about you guys, but it has been a long week, hasn't it? Have you guys had to get up and go to school? Yeah. 5 days a week, I know. I bet you wish you could sleep in on Sunday, don't you? Yeah, me too. I get up on Sunday some days and think, oh, I should sleep in. And you know, most of the world does. Most of the world gets up and they say, you know what? I worked hard all week long, and today I'm just going to sleep in. But as people who believe in Jesus, we come together, we come to the church. Do you know why we come to church on Sunday? Why do we come? Why do we bother to get up early and get dressed and have to eat breakfast really fast and come in? Why do we have to do that, do you suppose? Any ideas? Well, what about, it kind of seems like foolishness, doesn't it? But what if I told you that sometimes when you're here, somebody may not be able to see very well, or they might want to stand up and sing, but they can't hold their hymnal, and you're sitting next to them, what could you do? Could you help them hold their hymnal for them? Yeah, absolutely. And what if somebody had a hard time getting up the stairs and they needed a hand? You could help them walk up the stairs, exactly. But what if you decided to stay home? Could you help them walk up the stairs if you decided to stay home? No. What if everybody stayed home this morning and I had to sing by myself? Would that be good? No, that would not be good. You're absolutely right. And so we come together because we lift each other up and we're all part of a big family. But more important than that, we come because somebody has a message for you. Can you think of who that might be? God, exactly. God wants us to come together and be together because he has a message for us. He wants to talk. Maybe for you, he speaks to you in the music. And then maybe you hear something that you think, wow, what a great message. God is telling me this. Or maybe it's in something that you read in a prayer that we say. Or maybe God is telling you something in something that you hear me say. I don't know about that, but it's possible. Anything is possible, right? But so for so many folks, they think it's silly. They think it's foolish. Well, Jesus we talk about the cross of Jesus. And for the unbelieving world, that just seems like it's foolishness. But for those of us who believe in Jesus, we know that it's the power of God. And so we come together, we come to church on Sunday morning because we celebrate that power. We celebrate the power of God and the fact that God loves us so much that he is with us and that he talks to us and wants to see us together, right? Okay, let's have a prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you are a Heavenly Father. That when we come together, we aren't just a group of people that come together, but that you're with us, that you're here, you have a message for us, that you speak to our hearts, oh gracious God, and that you help us to get through our week and to make good choices and not to be foolish during the week. And we just ask that you would bless us and bless our families, especially families, Lord, as we spend our Sunday mornings together and as we worship together all week, and we pray it in your name. Amen. All right, guys. Well, I had to consolidate down to one bucket. I didn't get a chance to refill it. So I'm going to pass that around. And remember, you take two, one for you and one for somebody else, and that you tell them that Jesus loves them, that God loves them. Will you do that for me? Thank you. And so as soon as you get your suckers, you guys can be dismissed for junior church. All right. Thank you, guys. I know. Right? I saw that. I didn't know whether to pull it out or not. You know, sometimes we find the empty wrapper, and now we're finding just the sucker with no wrapper. I think there is a church mouse. Oh, there's the wrapper. They must have tried it and decided they didn't like it. Oh, put it back in. I'm going to have to get better at putting those somewhere with them. All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Now we gather together to share our joys and concerns. Do we have any from the congregation? Anything that anyone wants to lift up?
Cole and Chloe have their 8th birthday today. Or not today, Saturday.
Oh, yay! What else do we have? Well, am I wrong, but wasn't last night prom?
Yes.
Yeah, so far so good. We celebrate that.
Marie is going on a 5K walk today at Ohio Northern. I'm not sure what is that, breast cancer or life?
Okay, so it's a 5K at Ohio Northern?
Yeah, it's for a charity. So,
awesome.
Wish her luck.
Absolutely. I know that as we speak this morning, my cousin is doing the Glass City 5K in Toledo this morning.
Several of the people from the community, friends, relatives, I had called and given them a progress on Jill's surgery, which was 2 weeks ago this coming Tuesday. She told me that before the surgery, they used a tuning fork. She could not hear. After the surgery, she could hear some, even though the whole canal was full of cotton balls.
Oh, okay.
Then I talked to her Monday, and she said, "Mom, I know I can hear, even though it's still plugged with that till Tuesday." Sunday afternoon, she was outdoors last week, and she heard turtle doves cooing. I can't get that off my mind, so we're anxious to know from there on. But presumably, it's working. Thank you.
It is a blessing. We are so grateful for that. And while we're talking about that, it's been brought to the trustees' attention that some folks have a problem hearing me. And so we are investing in a hearing assistance program so that you'll have headsets to be able, if you have a hard time hearing me, there are headsets that will be available that you can take and use and be able to assist you in hearing, and hopefully that will improve your ability to hear. So we are excited about that. Others? Yeah. Come on over here, John.
May 8th is Mother's Day, and we're going to bring the dynamic cooks from the men's group together to have a nice preparation for the mothers and the daughters. So, guys, get it together.
Wonderful. So there is a mother's breakfast on May 8th. That'll be great. Thank you for that. And then over here.
On Friday, Leslie's stepmother passed away, so we just ask your prayers for the family. Thank you.
Absolutely, thank you. Anything else? We need to also keep in prayer, I did, as we celebrate and are glad that our students are safe and healthy, we know that there was a shooting in Wisconsin at a prom. And so we're keep them in prayers as well. Along with the folks with the floodings that have happened in Texas and some of those places, Dick reminded me that they are flooded again. And so they're experiencing that. And I think, is that all that we have? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you. Heavenly and gracious God, we thank you for this time of year, for this season that reminds us, Lord, of your great blessings as we start to warm up and as trees start to bloom and as flowers come out, Lord, we are so grateful. It's also the time of year for proms, for the graduations. For so many colleges, Lord, graduation is around the corner, and we give you thanks and praise for that. We thank you, O gracious God, and ask that you keep safe all of our young people, especially in these last days of school, these last days of the spring season. We ask also, Lord, that you would remind us that you are present with us, that you were present with us through the winter, and that you are present with us now. We give you thanks for the ability to hear, for the medical advances that allow folks who haven't heard in a long time to hear the cooing of a dove and hopefully the chirping of the cardinals and all those other things that are yet to come. We give you thanks for that. We thank you for birthdays and anniversaries. And yet, Lord, we know that there are places on our heart that we are concerned about. We are grateful for those who are giving of their time, Lord, and their energies to walk in or run in marathons for charities that are happening across the country, but specifically for Marie. Strengthen her, Lord, and bless her in that endeavor. Be with those, O gracious God, who struggle with health issues this morning. Be with those who mourn. Be with us and communities as we grieve. Be with those that are hungry. Be with those places where disease comes out of poverty. And hear the prayer that is on our hearts. Gracious God, we count ourselves as fortunate as we are folks who have learned to lean on you and we lean on each other as we pray the prayer that you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We trust in God, a God that is good and a God that is giving. And in so we give back to God in a reflection that we trust in him. Can I have the ushers come forward, please? Thank you. And as you're able. We give our gifts, mindful of the countless blessings that have come our way in the week gone by. In this time of worship, loving God, we have been awakened to the glory of your world through the beauty of music. Our minds have been challenged through the reading of our scripture lessons, and our souls have been touched by the reaching of your word. We readily affirmed our faith and spoken honestly to you, time of prayer, in gratitude for all that has been given to us in our time together. Let us respond with generous hearts as we dedicate our offerings to you through Christ our Lord. Amen. And this is the hymn that is 591. The gospel reading comes to us from John chapter 5, verses 30 through 47. I can do nothing on my own. I judge as God tells me. Therefore, my judgment is just because I carry out the will of the one who sent me, not my own will. If I were to testify on my own behalf, my testimony would not be valid. But someone else is also testifying about me, and I assure you that everything he says about me is true. In fact, you sent investigators to listen to John the Baptist, and his testimony about me was true. Of course, I have no need of human witnesses, but I say these things so that you might be saved. John was like a burning and shining lamp, and you were excited for a while about his message. But I have a greater witness than even John, my teachings and my miracles. The Father gave me these works to accomplish, and they prove that he sent me. And the Father who sent me has testified about me himself. Have you never heard his voice or seen him face to face? And you do not have his message in your hearts because you do not believe me, the one sent to you. You search the scriptures because you think that they give you eternal life. But the scriptures point to me. Yet you refuse to come to me to receive this life. Your approval means nothing to me because I know that you don't have God's love within you. For I have come to you in my Father's name, and you have rejected me. Yet if others come in their own name, you gladly welcome them. No wonder you can't believe, for you gladly honor one another, but you don't care about the honor that comes from the one who alone is God. Yet it isn't I who will accuse you before the Father. Moses will accuse you. Yes, Moses, in whom you put your hopes. If you really believed Moses, you would believe me because he wrote about me. But since you don't believe what he wrote, how will you believe what I say? May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Morning. The anthem that we're going to do for you this morning was donated, or should I say paid for, by the Allison family. I'm sure many of you remember Cecil. She loved the choir. And after she passed away, the family gave us enough money to purchase two anthems for the choir, and this is one of them.
Thank you.
And the people of God said, Amen. The New Testament reading comes to us from 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, verses 4 through 25. I always thank God, my God, for you and for the gracious gifts he's given to you now that you belong to Jesus. Through him, God has enriched your church in every way, with all of your eloquent words and all of your knowledge. This confirms that I told you about Christ is true. Now you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will keep you strong till the end so that you will be free from all blame on that day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says, and he has invited you into partnership with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with one another. Let there be no divisions in the church, rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. For some members of the house of Chloe have told me about your quarrels. My dear brothers and sisters, some of you are saying, I am a follower of Paul. Others say, I follow Apollos, or I follow Peter, or I follow Christ. Has Christ been divided into factions? Was I, Paul, crucified for you? Were any of you baptized in the name of Paul? Of course not. I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except for Crispus and Gaius, for no one can say that they were baptized in my name. Oh, yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. But remember, I don't remember baptizing anyone else. For Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the good news, and not with clever speech, for fear that the cross of Christ would lose its power. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are headed for destruction. But those who are being saved know that it is the very power of God. As the scripture says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. So where does that leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look like foolishness. Since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. It is foolishness to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven, and it's foolishness to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. But to those who are called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God's wisdom and the wisdom of God. This foolish plan of God's is wiser than the wisest human plans, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that you were a few wise words, world's eyes, powerful and wealthy when God called you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Holy and eternal God, you make foolish the wisdom of the world. Help us, O God, believe not only with our lips, but with our lives. Amen. Well, at the risk of dating myself, does anybody else remember the TV show The Jetsons? Yeah, I loved that show. I loved that show so much. I remember being a kid, and I remember that I wanted to have my own personal Rosie. You remember the robot that had it was complete with her own personal quirks and her own personality, and I wanted one in the worst way. I imagined what it would be like to push buttons and to have our meals made, and I wanted to ride my way through the showers on a conveyor belt, or to fly to school instead of being confined by gravity. It all sounded so good to me. It sounded remarkable. But for many, they said that it was foolishness. It seems, though, that the Jetsons actually got it pretty close in some areas. For instance, most of us are familiar with this device. Who has not seen a treadmill, right? And and they seem to predict Skype or FaceTime, as well as the iWatch. I know we all waited till we could talk into our watches. And also, but they also seem to have totally missed the development of the credit card. They're still giving out cash, you might notice. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm old enough to remember technology and to remember when the advances in history and culture came about without much of the predictions. For instance, I remember when the microwave came out. I was just newly married when it got to be accessible to everyone. And if you remember, those first ones were really big. They were like the size of a mini refrigerator. And, you know, another modern convenience, or a luxury convenience, if you will. And it was just about as close to coming to pushing buttons for a meal as you could get. Well, I remember life before the computer, really. And I remember life before the dishwasher, and life before cell phones, and VCRs, and CDs, and iPods, and even Netflix. I remember that if anyone would have told me about any of those things, I would have told them, foolishness. That's just foolishness. Sometimes the things of the world do seem like foolishness, but the things of Christ are so much more. Paul tells us in the message of the cross is foolishness for those who are perishing. Now, I want to share with you some things that have been heavy on my heart the last week. We all know that two amazing women passed away this week. The communities have been in mourning. I officiated over one, and I attended the other. I went to the other service, and I listened to the preacher. He began to talk, and he talked about Job, and he said that Job had heard all about all that he had lost. He had gotten a message from a servant that told him that he'd lost all his livestock. And before he could recuperate from that, he got another message from yet another servant who said that all of his crops were gone. And then another servant, he received word that while the family was eating, the house fell, and that he lost most of his family. Grief-stricken, he mourned. He mourned, he tore his robes, and he shaved his head. But the Bible tells us also that he blessed God's name. He still praised God. Foolishness, it seems. Who praises God when their lives are in shambles and falls around their ears and still praises God? I'll tell you who. Those who trust in the Lord and in his Son, Jesus Christ. So far, I was with the pastor. I was agreeing with him that morning. Everything made sense. Praising God and continuing to trust in God. It does sound like foolishness to those who are perishing. And then the pastor said something. He quoted the scripture where Job, not God, not Jesus, but Job, proclaims that God gives and God takes away. And then he encouraged the family and friends to hold fast to God, even though God had taken away this young mother and this friend. Foolishness, I tell you. Foolishness. I want you to know that God does not take away our loved ones, our children, and our mothers, randomly choosing willy-nilly which ones to take, who and when, and then expects us to bless his name. I believe, I believe that we live in human bodies that are weak. They wear out. They fall out. They break out. And they're subject to pain and brokenness and disease. And I believe in a God that when our bodies wear out, gives graciously to bring home those when they are broken by the frailness of life. As I listened, I was brokenhearted for this family who was asked to believe that God had just taken away their mother. And I have this thing, I have this face thing, I think I've told you about that. I kind of go, and you know, and as people are talking, I kind of share what's going on in my mind with my expressions. And I was worried that my face was giving away my frustrations because I wanted to scream, no, God did not take her. If God does take away our loved ones, what on earth does that say about God? How can I worship and thank a God that the Bible tells us created us and loves us and knows every one of us before we're even born? How can I believe in a God that then, after creating us, hardwires us for love and for community and for families, and then places us in a family and then just takes us? How is that love? Foolishness. Foolishness. No, the foolishness is not that God is no better than any idol made by man's hands that is demanding and whimsical and moody, but God is love. This is the gospel, the good news, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that those who believed in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That is something that the world simply finds foolish. I was on Facebook the other day, and a friend of mine put on a post that said, science will admit when it's wrong, religion will kill to prove that it's right. Well, I thought, I'm going to pass that by. I can't. I got to go back to that. So I went back and I posted a response. And it set off this long and lengthy conversation and discussion. See, I don't believe that science and religion are mutually exclusive. But the fact that it got so much a response proves to me that for many, many people, the cross is foolishness. So let's look again at what Paul really said. Paul was addressing the church in Corinth. He opens his letter with his traditional greetings. And he includes these words, I give thanks to you always, my God, because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ, for every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and in knowledge of every kind. See, Paul points out that they've been given knowledge of every kind. They aren't uninformed. They aren't uneducated. They are what would be the Washington, D.C. group of our day and age. That they had the inside on all of the arts. They had the inside on the theater, the culture, and everything that culture had to offer, and the knowledge of Jesus. Nor, Paul says, were they lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus. He goes on to address the issue that he causes him to write the letter, the division in the church. But what he's really trying to say to them in a nutshell is that they should know better. They should know better. They had all the knowledge and spiritual gifts, and yet they were divided. He hears that some from the house of Chloe have told me, folks, I also want you to know that in the church, when there's division, it gets back. Paul, not even close to the church at the time, got word from Chloe's house that there was arguments and fighting and fussing. I'm always amazed that when somebody says, comes up to me, when I go up to someone and say, you know, I understand that there's, that you've got an issue. They say, how did you know? Folks, people talk. And so this house, this church was divided. Paul chides them. He says, listen, and listen to his tone. He says, each one of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, or I belong to Christ. Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Did you hear that? Has Christ been divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Foolishness. So in addressing the division, Paul gives the clearest message about the church and about the faith. He says this, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, so that the cross of Christ may not be emptied of its own power. For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Folks, the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Everything about God in and through Christ's life seems like foolishness to an unbelieving world. But let me tell what the cross proclaims. The beloved Son of God came in the flesh as one of us, was crucified for not overthrowing Rome. He died and rose again to offer us forgiveness and eternal life. That defies all logic. It makes no sense. A God that loves us does not protect us from death, but brings us into eternal life. The current effort of so many religious leaders to harmonize with science, Christianity, philosophy, and every other natural and reasonable thing, I think, is the result of the failure to understand Christianity, and from judging from what I have read and learned, failure to understand what science and philosophy are about as well. So I want to end this, and I want to read to you, and I am going to read to you. It is written by A.W. Tozer. I talk about Tozer a lot. I love him. He's one of my favorite theologians. And I want you to know that I have also made copies. I forgot them. They're down in the copy room, so maybe somebody can run down and get those and bring them up to have them available to you. I want you to take them home if you so desire to reread this. Because I'll just recap it. I'll sum it up in my own words. But it loses so much power. So I want you just to hear these words. And like I said, they're from A.W. Tozer. At the heart of the Christian system lies the cross of Christ with its divine paradox. The power of Christianity appears in its antipathy toward, never in its agreement with, the ways of fallen men. The truth of the cross is revealed in its contradictions. The witness of the church is most effective when she declares rather than explains. For the gospel is addressed not to reason, but to faith. What can be proved requires no faith to accept. Faith rests upon the character of God, not upon the demonstrations in a laboratory or in logic. The cross stands in bold opposition to the natural man. Its philosophy runs contrary to the process of the regenerate mind. So that Paul can bluntly say that the preaching of the cross to them that is perishing is foolishness. To try to find a common ground between the message of the cross and men's fallen reason is to try the impossible. And if persisted in, must result in impaired reason, a meaningless cross, and a powerless Christianity. The Christian believes that in Christ he has died, yet he is more alive than ever before, and he fully expects to live forever. He walks on the earth while seated in heaven, and though born on earth, he finds that after his conversion, he is not at all at home here. Like the nighthawk, which in the air is the essence of grace and beauty, but on the ground is awkward and ugly. So the Christian appears at its best in the heavenly places, but does not fit well into the very ways of the society into which he was born. The Christian soon learns that if he would be victorious as the Son of Heaven among men on earth, he must not follow the common pattern of mankind, but rather the contrary. That he may be safe, he puts himself in jeopardy. He loses his life to save it and is in danger of losing it if he attempts to preserve it. He goes down to get up. If he refuses to go down, he is already down. But when he starts to go down, he is on his way up. He is strongest when he is weakest, and he is weakest when he is strong. Though poor, he has the power to make others rich. But when he becomes rich, his ability to enrich others vanishes. He has the most after he's given the most away, and the least when he possesses the most. He may be and often is the highest when he feels the lowest, and the most sinful when he is the most conscious of his own sin. He is the wisest when he knows not, and knows least when he has acquired the greatest amount of knowledge. He sometimes does most by doing nothing and goes furthest when standing still. In heaviness, he manages to rejoice and to praise God and to keep his heart glad even in sorrow. He loves supremely one whom he has never seen. And though himself poor and lowly, he walks with familiarity with the one who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and is not aware of any incongruity in doing so. He feels that he is in his own right altogether less than nothing, yet he believes without question that he is the apple of God's eye, and that for him the eternal Son became flesh and died on the cross of shame. Tell that to science. Tell that to the non-believer. Foolishness. They will scoff at the mere idea of it. And yes, as Christians, we seem like a whole gullible group of people. Foolish and ill-informed on how the world works. But to the hosts in heaven and to our Father God, we are beloved. Amen. I invite you to stand as we sing our closing song, The Old Rugged Cross.
Thank you.
go with the foolishness of the cross into a wise and unbelieving world and share the message. Go in peace, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.